interpret this value system as close as possible to the pure Muhammadan Islam.
I think, I'm not sure if the brother agrees. I think you're mixing so many things together. Okay. With all due respect.
Yes.
You're putting so many things together, and then I think you're drifting out of topic altogether. Now, when it comes to interpreting certain laws and certain values, yes, by Muslims, that's a topic by itself.
Okay.
Defining government and what a government
should
be.
As you said, Brother Abdullah,
that's a different topic.
Brother Sayyid Abdullah, as you said, Islam is self-sufficient.
Yeah.
This
is what I'm saying to you. This is what I'm trying to say to you. Is like, as a Muslim now, the main theme of Islam, the main lifestyle that is set, that is not something that me and you disagree on. For example, the brother has said in the Quran, whoever kills one soul, as if he killed entire humanity.
Yes.
That's not subject to interpretation. Everyone knows it. I should not kill.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to interpretation, people say, well, okay, the Quran says kill those who are non-Muslims, for example.
Yes.
And they interpret that in their own sense and they go blow themselves up.
The takfir ones.
Okay, that's takfir ones. Yes. Now, these guys, okay, they might have went through, away from the formula, but the formula itself is set. Mm-hmm. Now, these people who misinterpret, they're only misinterpreting for their own agenda.
Yes.
Not because there's a problem in the system itself to begin with.
Okay.
Now, I can misinterpret the Quran or the Hadith in any way I like to suit me.
Yes.
Not that there's something wrong with it. So the majority of the Muslims, they agree killing a person is wrong.
Yes.
Now, Daesh, no matter how, like 10,000, 15,000, 100,000 of them, compared to 1.6 billion, is nothing. So I can't disagree with the majority and take the minority. So even with being misinterpretation, I'm going to overlook it. But the theme itself is there.
Yeah, a brief comment on the Sayyid's explanation. A brief comment, I think. We have to go one step before your question.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean? Look, we are defining the principles and fundamentals in Islam. But we are not talking about masadiq, or examples which are actually practical in Islam world.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care, for example, in that Arab country, for example, due to hierarchy or due to their dynasty, the rule of that country has been actually given to a person. Mm. Right?
Okay.
So what I'm saying, what Islam says. Islam.
No, I mean, brother.
And Islam defined, mind you, brother.
Yeah,
Islam defined what a ruler should be. And he gave the characteristics and the virtues of a ruler.
Yeah.
Now, if the people choose a wrong ruler, or a ruler comes by power, now me and you as Muslim, we are powerless to do anything about it. Especially if these systems are supported by the West themselves.
Yeah. If he inherited, for example, from his dynasty, a kind of government, so it is not going to be necessarily a model, Islamic model. Islam has its own principles. And it has not changed from 14th century ago, and it has been defined by the Prophet and explained by the Imams.
So, you talked about the masadiq, these examples. Now, if in a Muslim land which is ruled by an Islamic system of value, if there comes a problem about the rights of the people, what is the problem? Where is the problem coming from?
You're claiming
to have rule the country by a system of values which is rooted in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Is it so?
Yeah.
So, in comparison to the Western world, which have so many problems, I believe that. But as long as you are comparing yourself with them, and then you, as a Muslim land, have many problems.
We're not comparing ourselves.
Some people say, upon this conspiracy theory, these are all, the plots against the Muslim lands, the system of the governance coming from over there into the Muslim lands mixed with some Islamic themes and the concepts, and then rule over the people. But it's still, so many Muslim lands nowadays have crisis. Where do these problems come from, brother?
Actually, we're not, first of all, we are not actually comparing Islam to any other school, because it has al-Islam ya'lu wa la ya'la. Al-Islam, this is not good, delete it. Islam is high, and we're not comparing Islam to any other school. But rationally speaking, we are saying that, look, this is the formula that Islam has given us for the, system of government.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is not being observed in this country or the other, so lots of problems will arise. So the same way that they have selected their own government, they have to go and solve their problems.
So another way, you're saying, do not blame this Islamic system. Blame those who apply it.
There's a problem in
applying it, not in the system itself. So me as a ruler, I know that my Islamic duties, but I decide to be a corrupt person and take the rights of other peoples. Now, someone from the outside, they can't come and blame Islam because I'm in a Muslim country, I'm a Muslim person, and say, okay, here's your ruler, here's Islam, you guys are doing it wrong. Well, I am doing it wrong, not Islam.
Yeah, I know.
So even now in the West, when they point fingers at Islam, they measuring Islam by the people. You can't do that. You know how Imam Ali says,
the wrong practitioners,
not
the truth,
you know the people of the truth.
Yeah.
Not vice versa. So now people say, well, okay, look at the Muslim countries. Well, I don't care about the Muslim countries. I don't care who rules the Muslim countries.
Yes.
They do not represent Islam.
Okay, that's right. Thank you very much for today's discussion. It was really nice. Sayyid Abdullah Musa, Brother Ali, we are out of time for today's discussion.
Thanks.
We have to cut it over here. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners of iRab English Radio, for listening to this program. This is Weir Points. I'm Attar, the host of this program. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Color of Islam page. Also, YouTube channel, Instagram page, Color of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Afi Amanullah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside, I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You guide me through my darkest night. Shows me right from wrong. And well, but often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the concept of humanity in the verses of the Holy Quran and the hadith that we have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interpreting and explaining the verses of the Holy Quran about mankind or about different aspects of the human soul. In the previous episodes, we talked about human reason and different verses of the Holy Quran showing the significant role of reason in the perfection of man, and also the ahadith from the Prophet ﷺ talking about the role of reason and intellect in the perfection of a human being. Now, another thing that is left in the tradition that we have in Islamic hadith and the verses of the Holy Quran is the relationship between reason and money and wealth. Which one is better? Now there's this classic question, wealth or education, which one is better? Wealth or science, wealth or knowledge? And some people give another classic answer is that, well, education and knowledge are better than wealth. And when you ask them why, they say, because, well, you can use science in order to produce wealth. Then, at the end of the day, it shows that science is only good as much as it can serve the wealth and money, as much as it can produce money. So, you should have said that wealth is better, because it's the only goal that some people have in order to gain knowledge. While it is not the case, when we go to the verses of the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, we have not been created to just claim and create piles of money for ourselves, and we take in that way, we take everything else in that service, including our knowledge, including our intellect. Human spirit has different aspects, and all these potentials should be actualized in their own proper position. You should not sacrifice your intellect for desire, and you should not sacrifice the desire for the intellect. Both of them, they have their function. And also about dunya and akhirah, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Quran says you should not forget your share from dunya. It's true that wealth is there, money is there, the importance that it has, but it doesn't mean everything else should be measured according to the money that they create. For example, a person, like, he follows a certain career and he likes that career and she likes that career. And then other people blaming him or her because it's not as much well paid, for example, that job. No, it's not. It's about self-realization. It's about how much people see themselves happy in the things that they do. And if we follow the perfection, the plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us in the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we realize that if we carry that out, we arrive at a point that we feel completely satisfied. Even if, in terms of the financial things, no, it's not like a tycoon having so much money. No, we have decent life. At the end of the day, we also did something that we are happy with ourselves. Many people, rich people, when they arrive at the end of their lives, yes, they have a lot of money, but it's not necessarily true for them to say they're happy about how they spend their life. You see, it happens also. So this feeling should be there, that you realize your potentials in the way that is best for your soul. We're going to have a break and we come back to continue our discussion about the relationship between greed and reason according to the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program and in the first episode, we talked about that classic question about wealth and reason, or wealth and education. And we said sometimes the answers given to this question are not very deep. And sometimes when you investigate, you realize that at the end of the day, money is the ultimate measurement for people to judge the success of a person, which is not correct. Now, we have a hadith in contrast. Imam Ali Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam qala li ibn al-Hasan, when he advised his son Imam al-Hasan, he said, Ya bunay, O my son, inna aghna al-ghina al-aql. The utmost level of wealth, the most valuable form of wealth, is al-aql, is to have perfect intellect. Wa akbar al-faqr al-humq, and the greatest form, the most severe form of poverty, is when a person is poor in terms of his intellect. And several times we have said it does not talking about like mentally challenged people. It talks about that intellect in the Holy Quran, the intellect that can lead a person towards perfection. So Imam says the best wealth, the best asset a person has is his intellect. And the worst kind of poverty is when a person does not use such intellect. In another hadith from Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam, Ya Hisham, man arada al-ghina bin amal. If a person wants to be wealthy without money, وَرَاحَةَ الْقَلْبِ مِنَ الْحَسَدِ. If a person wants his heart to be relieved from hasad, jealousy. You know, hasad, jealousy, or envy is something that actually is the most painful for the person himself. Is a kind of challenge that actually eats up the whole heart and other emotions of a person. So if a person is looking for relief of his heart from hasad, jealousy, wassalamata fi ddeen, and also he wants to have a decent, correct, accurate religion, فَلْيَتَذَرَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي مَسْأَلَتِهِ. He should, such a person, should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humbleness. Tadarru means when you ask and you make a case of request with humbleness toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِأَنْ يُكْمِلَ عَقْلَهِ. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, perfect my intellect. If you perfect my intellect, I will have all these benefits. I will have a salama fi ddeen. I will have an accurate religion. I will have a heart that is at relief. And I will have a wealth without money. Effortless wealth. فَمَنْ عَقِلَ قَنَعَ بِمَا يَكْفِيهِ. If a person has intellect, he will be content with a decent life. And if a person does not have intellect, he will never be happy with anything. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us perfect and higher and increase our intellect to higher levels. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime is abusing UNRWA employees detained in Gaza in order to extract forced confessions against the agency, with detainees describing being subjected to acts of torture. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. The Electronic Intifada wrote, UNRWA staff observed signs of trauma and ill treatment, including dog bite wounds, among the released detainees upon their arrival to Karam Abu Salem checkpoint on the Gaza-Israel boundary. Many were transferred to hospitals in Gaza due to injury or illness. Released detainees said they were forced to sit on their knees for hours on end while blindfolded and their hands tied. They described ill treatment, including physical beatings, threats of physical harm, insults, and humiliation, such as being made to act like animals or getting urinated on, use of loud music and noise. Detainees were also deprived of food, water, sleep, and toilets, and prevented from praying. Tightly locked handcuffs caused open wounds and friction injuries, according to UNRWA. While detainees had their ribs broken and shoulders dislocated as a result of beating with metal bars, rifle butts, and boots. Men and boys who were sheltering at an UNRWA installation were forced to strip naked and remained naked during their detention. Men and women were subjected to sexual violence and harassment, threats of rape, and were forced to strip in front of the Israeli troops and photographed and filmed while naked. A 41-year-old man who was detained told UNRWA that detainees were subjected to electrical shocks through their body parts, causing another man he was detained to get sick and die. A woman who was detained said that an Israeli intelligence officer displayed her neighborhood on a computer screen and asked them about individuals residing there. The woman told UNRWA, she said, "If you don't confess with all the information, we will bomb your home and kill your family." The Palestinian Prisoners Club says that the Zionist regime refuses to disclose information on the number of people from Gaza it has detained over the past 6 months or on where they are being held, Reuters reported. Al-Mizan, a Palestinian human rights group based in Gaza, says that Israeli regime forces have detained at least 3,000 people in the territory who are subjected to multiple forms of cruelty, torture, inhuman and degrading treatment from the moment they are arrested. Their detention and interrogation occurs without any judicial oversight or legal protection, in blatant defiance of international humanitarian law and international human rights law, the rights group adds. Around 1,650 Palestinians from Gaza are being imprisoned by the Zionist regime under its unlawful combatants law in total isolation and denied the right to a lawyer or legal representation. Detainees held under this law are neither granted the status of prisoners of war under the Third Geneva Convention nor afforded the protections of civilian detainees under the Fourth Geneva Convention, according to Al-Mizan. A lawyer with the rights group recently visited Ascalon and Ofer Prisons, where some 300 Palestinians from Gaza not held under the unlawful combatants law are being abducted, pending investigation. Al-Mizan's lawyer met with approximately 40 detainees who provided harrowing accounts of torture and inhumane treatment, including sleep deprivation and starvation as a form of torture and collective punishment. A 19-year-old told the rights group that three of his fingernails were removed during interrogation, that a dog was unleashed on him, and he was placed in a stress position for prolonged periods during 3 days of interrogation. Al-Mizan's lawyer reported that all detainees suffer from acute emaciation, fatigue, and back curvature due to being forced to bend their backs and heads while walking. The rights group said, many were unable to recall the names of people present in the room due to the physical and psychological abuse. According to Al-Mizan's lawyer, in his more than 20 years of working with detainees, he had never encountered conditions as appalling as those observed at Ofer Prison. The rights group said that the serious harm caused to Palestinians from Gaza in Israeli detention situates it within the legal framework of the crime of genocide. Al-Mizan added that the Zionist regime's use of systematic and widespread torture constitute crimes against humanity and called on the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court to issue arrest warrants.
Faqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asle zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
حضرت علی امیر المومنین ایمان چقدر فرمود اگر حکومت کره زمین بدن به من گناه نمی کنم.
How was the faith or iman of Imam Ali alayhi salam? He himself used to say, even if the authority over the whole world is given to me, I still don't commit even a small sin. This means that the faith of Imam Ali alayhi salam is superior to any type of faith. Another point is that the concept of faith has degrees. In most of the places in the Holy Quran, we have the concept of faith in Allah and His Apostle along with righteous deeds. This shows that faith has no value without action.
Thank you.
قطر هم داره. قطر هم یه دو تا ریل رو حرکت میکنه.
A good example for understanding better the concept of faith is rail transport. A rail transport has two parallel steel rails. One rail will not work for a train. Our faith or iman is exactly like this. It will not work with only believing something. Belief must be together with action. In better words, a comprehensive faith is the one that consists of both faith and action. For instance, a person might be able to dive into the swimming pool, but if he is not able to swim, he will be drowned. Jumping into something without knowing its rulings does not work properly. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRab English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qarati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمير.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. So what a beautiful persona it is indeed, and what an honor it is to be speaking about this persona and to be listening about this persona, the persona of Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. So when we're talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam, there's a very interesting and profound event which occurs in the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And so, you know, some while back, we had the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, after Imam Ali alayhi salam was hit upon the head with the poisoned sword, they took His Eminence to his house. And over there, eventually, they brought Ibn Muljim, who was the individual who had struck Imam Ali alayhi salam on the head. And so people were hitting Ibn Muljim, they were cursing at him, they were even spitting on him, and it is related that some people were even biting him because of this atrocious crime that he had committed, a crime which was completely shocking and terrifying. How is it possible that an individual can have so much hatred and anger and greed and jealousy and all these negative vices that would lead an individual to killing, you know, the divinely appointed Imam, this most pure and infallible and beautiful individual, Imam Ali alayhi salam. So when they brought him to Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam said that don't do these things to him. You know, don't hit him like this. Don't curse at him. Don't slander him. Don't spit on him. He has the respect of a human being. So as a human being, even though he has committed a crime, there is a basic level of respect and honor that the individual has, even though they have committed a crime. But then after that, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, you know, strike this individual as he has struck me, with one strike, you know. Don't mutilate his body, don't, you know, chop him up to pieces, etc. He gave me one strike, you two, you know, who are the executors of this, you know, crime and the judgment, etc. You give also one strike. And so, what an amazing thing that we learn here. You know, sometimes out of anger and, I guess, you know, pure rage and hatred, we end up going out of bounds of Islam. We end up trying to take revenge, or, you know, we end up exceeding the limits. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam here, he teaches us, no, that whether we are angry or we are happy, whether we are sad or we are cheerful, everything should be within the confines of Islam, because Islam is the perfect way and it is the middle way. A very thought-provoking lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Thank you.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: قرنت الهيبة بالخيبة، والحياء بالحرمان، والفرصة تمر مر السحاب، فانتهزوا فرص الخير.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "The consequence of fear is disappointment, and of bashfulness is frustration. Opportunity passes away like the cloud. Therefore, make use of good opportunities."
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
There are actually five different situations where Ali challenged people by saying, "Saluni, saluni, ask me before you lose me." In one, he says something very amazing. He says, "Ayyuhan nas," and this was probably declared in Basra, where he says, "Saluni, saluni, qabla an tafqiduni, فَعَنَا بِطُرُقِ السَّمَاءَ أَعْلَمُ مِنِّي بِطُرُقِ الْعَرْضِ." Ask me whatever you want, because I am more familiar with the path and the highways of the heavens than the earth. This is where we see the irony as far as the Muslims are concerned, that a person stood up. Ali is saying, "Ask me whatever you want. I know the ways of the heavens and the skies better than the ways of the earth." A fellow stands up. This is the father of Umar ibn Sa'd. "أخبرني كم في رأسي ولحيتي من طاقتي شعري." He says, "Ali, tell me how many strands of hair are there on my head and my beard." Is this what you want to know from Ali? Amir al-Mu'minin was very disappointed. He says, "But Rasulullah told me about you. Rasulullah told me that you will ask this question. And let me let you know, you don't have to know the number of the strands of the hair on your head and the beard, but you should know there is one malak sitting on each one of them and doing la'nat on you. And from your offspring will be one who is going to kill my son Hussein." And this is the tragedy of the Muslim world. The Arab world has a large non-Muslim population in Egypt as well as Lebanon. One of the famous Christian poets of this time, Khalil Gibran Khalil, made a comment in the preface that he wrote for a book about Amir al-Mu'mineen written by his friend, where he says, "When I study the life of Ali, I actually have a big complaint with the Creator. That of God, oh God, if you wanted to create a person like Ali, why did you send him at a time when people could not appreciate him?"
At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
The criticism against the UK's stance on Iran's retaliatory military operation against the Zionist regime gained momentum recently after British Foreign Secretary David Cameron's startling remarks. The Foreign Secretary's remarks were widely criticized across social media, with thousands of people condemning the UK government for its blatant hypocrisy. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, the criticism against the UK's stance on Iran's retaliatory military operation against the Zionist regime gained momentum this week after British Foreign Secretary David Cameron's startling remarks. In an interview with Sky News earlier this week, Cameron harshly criticized Iran for its military strikes against the Israeli regime, but hastened to add that the UK would have reacted similarly if one of its embassies came under attack. Recently, Iran launched a barrage of drones and missiles directly against the occupied territories called Israel in response to the attack on Iran's consulate in Damascus that led to the assassination of 7 individuals, including 3 senior Islamic Revolution Guards Corps commanders. The Israeli regime attack, according to legal luminaries, was in violation of international law and the Vienna Convention of 1961, as embassies are considered the soil of that particular country. During the interview, when asked by the Sky News journalist about how Britain would react if one of its embassies was flattened, Cameron said, "We would take every strong action, drawing criticism from all across the world for UK's double standards on the matter." The 57-year-old former British Prime Minister attempted to justify his remarks by differentiating between the Zionist regime's actions in Damascus and Iran's attack on occupied territories in response, highlighting the magnitude and scale of Iran's retaliation. There was a massive degree of difference between what Israel did in Damascus and Iran's unprecedented attack, Cameron stressed. "I would argue there is a massive degree of difference between what Israel did in Damascus and, as I said, referring to 301 weapons, 36 cruise missiles, and 185 drones launched by Iran against military targets in the occupied territories." While making the comparison, Cameron struggled to differentiate between the Iranian and Zionist casualties in the attacks. The Zionist regime's attack against the Iranian embassy in Syria assassinated 7 people, while there have been no formal reports of any casualties in the Iranian attack. He also couldn't differentiate between the pre-attack warnings from both sides. The Zionist regime targeted the Iranian consulate without any prior warning, as the intention was to assassinate Iranian diplomats in breach of international law, while the Iranian military intended to target the regime's military facilities. The Foreign Secretary's remarks were rightly criticized across social media, with thousands of people condemning the UK government for its blatant hypocrisy. Following the UK Foreign Secretary's controversial comments on Sky News and his government's backing of the Zionist regime, the Iranian Foreign Ministry condemned the move, expressing astonishment at the UK's criticism of Iran's legitimate response to the Zionist regime's attack on its embassy. In a telephone conversation recently, Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian condemned Cameron's stance and questioned the UK's unwavering support for the Zionist regime, despite its illegal actions, including the daily massacres of civilians in Gaza. Amir Abdollahian asked Cameron, "What does the British government gain from this amount of irresponsible support for Israel?" The top Iranian diplomat stressed that Iran's retaliatory measures align with the principle of legitimate defense outlined in Article 51 of the United Nations Charter. The foreign minister's exchange of remarks came after Iran's foreign ministry summoned the ambassadors of the UK, France, and Germany to question their irresponsible stance regarding Tehran's retaliatory strikes on the Israeli regime. The director for Western Europe at Iran's foreign ministry warned against the 3 countries' double standards and questioned their bias in opposing a UN Security Council statement condemning Israel's attack on Iran's embassy in Syria earlier this month. Iran's military action against the Zionist regime's bases is well within the framework of the right to legitimate defense stipulated in Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, and it is in response to a series of crimes, including the recent attack on the embassy compound in Syria, the official added. The British diplomat's controversial comments were also met with criticism from George Galloway, a member of the UK Parliament, who warned against the West's double standards on Israel and Iran. Exposing the inconsistency in Western attitudes, Galloway said that if international standards were applied uniformly, then Western governments would have condemned Israel's blatant bombing of the Iranian embassy building in Syria, and not just Iran's response to the Israeli regime's actions. The firebrand British MP said, "The mantra that Israel has a right to defend itself clearly does not apply to Iran. The mantra that there is a rules-based order, that there is Vienna Convention protecting the inviolability of diplomatic premises of every country in every other country is clearly bunkum. It doesn't apply to those that the Western Empire disapproves of. Otherwise, every Western government would have condemned Israel's blatant brazen destruction of Iran's embassy in Damascus. They would have done it if it was anyone else, wouldn't they?" Meanwhile, continuing its pivotal military support for the Zionist regime, the UK authorities claim that the Royal Air Force, RAF, came to the defense of the Zionist regime during the recent attacks. As part of Operation Shader, the code name for British military interventions in West Asia since 2014, several jets and air refueling tankers were dispatched to the region, according to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who confirmed that RAF jets intercepted and brought down a number of Iranian drones. Speaking in the House of Commons recently, Sunak said that our pilots put themselves in harm's way to protect the regime, and acknowledged the UK's contribution of important intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance support for our partners. UK Defence Secretary Grant Shapps also confirmed the deployment of further military assets in occupied territories as a demonstration of solidarity with the Zionist regime. Shapps was quoted as saying, "In response to escalation in the region and in partnership with our allies, the Prime Minister and I have authorized the deployment of additional Royal Air Force assets. The UK is a staunch ally of Israel, supporting the Zionist regime with a raft of lethal arms. The UK has authorized approximately £472 million in standard arms exports to Israel since 2015, alongside 58 open licenses of unlimited value, raising transparency issues and allowing unrestricted quantities, according to the figures by Campaign Against the Arms Trade, CAAT.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می‌کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
July 12, 1983, place Hosseinia Jamaran, Tehran. Ambition is the result of lack of purification of the soul. We should be united in the face of strangers. A single hand, not even two, one hand, do one task. Again, if it had stated two hands, sometimes this one hand does not agree or do the same thing as the other hand. We must be one hand. A single hand means that you should repress your carnal desire, repress your aspirations, which you think are important. Think who we are and what this solar system is, and what are these galaxies in relation to the greatness of Allah, so that you understand that you are involved with the dirty evil and not an evil that is something worthwhile.